Good morning. We welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Rees. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning, and we appreciate you tuning in each Sunday morning. We've been running for a few weeks now, and we appreciate you listening to the Bible program. I would encourage you to get your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 17 in just a moment. I'm going to be reading from that passage of Scripture. If you'd like to go get your Bible at this time, we're going to be looking at James chapter 1 and verse 17. This morning, we ask the question, what is so good about the good news? Have you heard any good news lately? I believe we all want to hear good news. When was the last time you heard some good news that really made you happy? We all like to hear good news, don't we? We need more good news, especially in the modern world around us today where there's so much bad news going on. We need to hear something that is good. I think everybody likes to hear about good news. Somebody might like to hear about a wedding announcement or an engagement announcement, or that someone is about to have a child for the first time, or maybe the good news of retiring, or the good news of buying your first house or your first car or whatever that might be. We all like to hear about good news. But the best good news that anyone could hear is that of the gospel. The gospel is good news. You know, we use that word gospel a lot. We hear it a lot. But do we know what it really means? The word gospel is used a lot in the New Testament. What does that word really mean? Well, it means good news. And when you're hearing about the gospel, when you're reading about the gospel, you are hearing and reading about good news. The word preach. Preach is from the Greek word euangelizo. It means to proclaim good news or glad tidings. The word preach is used several times in the New Testament. When someone is preaching, he is proclaiming good news or glad tidings. The word gospel is used a lot in the New Testament. It comes from the Greek word euangelion. It means good news or good tidings. And then there's the word evangelist that is used a few times in the New Testament, euangelistes. It means one who proclaims good news. It's used in Acts 21 and verse 8, Ephesians 4 and 11, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. Each of these words has one thing in common, euangelizo, euangelion, and the Greek word euangelistes. They all begin with the prefix E-U. The two letters E-U in the Greek mean good. And so someone who is proclaiming the good news. This morning, friends, we want to ask the question, what is so good about the good news? In other words, if the gospel is good news, what makes it good news? What makes it good? And that's what we want to consider this morning. We're going to notice in our lesson this morning that there are at least four reasons why the good news is so good. It's good because it comes from heaven. Number two, it is good because it brings us news about salvation from sin. Number three, it is good because it puts us in good standing with God. And number four, it is good because it makes us a good person around others. Let's take the first point this morning, and if you'll turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 17, we know that the good news is good because it comes from heaven, and anything coming from heaven is going to be good. James writes, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. And then James gives an example of what comes from heaven. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God uses the word of truth to beget us again spiritually so that we can be born again. He uses the word of truth. He doesn't use our feelings and what we think and what we feel, but we have been brought forth by the word of truth, and that comes down from heaven. And James says that every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So, number one, the good news is good because it is a gift of goodness from heaven. Our English word gospel was originally from the old Anglo-Saxon word Godspell, meaning God's story. The gospel is God's story. It's God's good news, and it comes down from heaven. And James says that all good things come from heaven. And so it originates in heaven, and it comes down from heaven. And so we know that it is going to be a good gift from God. Paul calls the gospel of God in Romans chapter 1 in verse 1. It's called the gospel of God. So the good news originates from God in heaven. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. It's the good news that comes from God out of heaven, how that we can be saved from our sins. Paul uses that same expression in Romans 15 and verse 16, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 8 and 9, the gospel of God. And then the apostle Paul describes it as the gospel of Christ. It's about Christ and how that he saves mankind from sin on the cross. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul writes, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers." The gospel of his Son. You can also find this in Romans chapter 15 and verse 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, and several other places in the New Testament. It's the gospel of God because it originates from God. It comes down from heaven. It's the gospel of his Son, or the gospel of Christ, because it is about Jesus Christ. It tells us about him and how that we can be saved in him and through him. And then, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, Peter describes the gospel as the gospel that was preached by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And so God used the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to the apostles, and then the apostles went out and were guided into all the truth, and they went out and preached that gospel all over the world. And so it is the gospel of God because it originates from God. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is about Jesus and his saving work on the cross, and how that we can be saved through him. It is the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven. And so the Holy Spirit reveals that to mankind through the scriptures. Peter writes, 1 Peter 1:12, "To whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you did they minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven." And so notice the them there. Peter is talking about the apostles who went into all the world and preached the gospel. It was preached, the gospel was preached by these men, but it was also by or through or in the Holy Spirit. They were guided by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells his apostles in John 14, 15, and 16, before he left them, he said that the Spirit would come and guide you into all the truth. And so, friends, the gospel is good news, first of all, because it is a good gift that comes down from heaven. It comes from God. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And God designed the gospel. His Son carried out the good news by dying on the cross. The Holy Spirit revealed that good news to the apostles, and then they preached it to all mankind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for example, that he had the Spirit and the mind of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit guided them into all of the truth. Since God designed the gospel, he will not give us anything that is not good. So first of all, the good news is good because it comes down from heaven. Secondly, the good news is good because it is the gospel of salvation. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, we'll read about that in just a moment. If anyone needed good news, it would be someone who needed saving from sin. And Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all need saving from sin. And that is the greatest news that anyone could get. We might receive good news about a high test score and get an A on a test, and we would be happy about that. We might get good news about getting out of debt. We might get some good news about the weather that is coming up later this week. But it's nothing like the good news about being saved from sin. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, "In whom," that is in Jesus, "you also, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." The gospel of your salvation. And so we understand the importance of the good news, because it is good news about salvation. It is good news about Jesus. He saves us from our sins. Peter and John in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, they continued to preach and teach the good news about Jesus Christ. Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. And there's other examples in the New Testament about preaching the good news about Jesus, because he saves us from our sins. We also know that the good news of the kingdom of God was preached in Acts chapter 8. In verse 12, when Peter was preaching to the Samaritans, it says there that he preached the good news, or the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is, we can come out of the devil's power, and we can come out of sin and come into the kingdom of God. It's not a physical kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is not a physical boundary with physical walls and physical land, but the kingdom, or the church, God's people. It's good news. It's the gospel of the kingdom, because it tells us how that we can come into that body of saved people, the kingdom of God. And so it is good news about salvation. That's the greatest news that we need, how that we can be saved from sin. It's also called the gospel of God's promises in Acts chapter 13. When Paul was preaching in Antioch, he talked about in Acts chapter 13 and verse 32, he talked about how that we bring you good tidings of the promise made unto the fathers. The good tidings is the gospel there. And so Paul and others were preaching in the book of Acts about God's promises to the fathers. Well, what was that? Well, that was the promise in the book of Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, the promise that in Abraham's seed all the nations would be blessed. And that is the seed promise of Jesus Christ. He came from the lineage of Abraham, God's people. And so the good news about God's promises, how that one can be saved from sin through Jesus Christ. And so we know that it is good, because it pertains to salvation, the good news. And then notice in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul talks there about the gospel of God's grace in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, when he was speaking to the Ephesian elders there. Paul says, "So that I might accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And so God's grace, his blessing and his gift of salvation bestowed, God's grace goes into all the world. God's grace is for all mankind. And it's the good news about how that we can be saved by God's grace. And so it is good news because it is about salvation. Turn with me also to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first few verses there. It is good news about salvation because it is the good news about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he hath been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until now." And then he talks about later in verse 9 how that Jesus appeared to him also. And so the death, burial, resurrection, and appearances of Jesus Christ make up that good news that Paul preached. And so we can be saved from sin. He died for our sins, verse 3. And it's good news about that. It's also the good news about the glory of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and following, if you'll read with me there, the gospel of the glory of Christ. Paul writes, "In whom the god of this world, the devil or Satan, hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them." And so the devil doesn't want us to hear the gospel. He doesn't want us to read that. And here it's described as the gospel of the glory of Christ. And Christ certainly is glorious in saving us from our sins and sitting at the right hand of God now, ruling and reigning over His people. That is certainly a glorious Christ, and it's good news about that as well. It's good news about the truth. There were those who did not walk according to the truth of the gospel, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. The truth is contained in the gospel, and that's the truth on how that we can be saved from sin. Salvation from sin doesn't come by feelings and what we think. It's the truth of the gospel. It's not by what various preachers come up with and various theological or religious ideas about salvation. It's contained on the pages of the truth of the gospel, the truth of Scripture. And so if we want the truth about salvation, we need to go to the truth of the gospel, Galatians 2 and verse 5. It also is the gospel of how that we can be united together in Christ. There's a lot of division today. There's still racism today. But the gospel is for all. It doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter our social status or our educational background or our economic situation. It doesn't matter what nation we come from. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. We can all be saved through Jesus Christ. And so it's called the gospel here. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, when Paul preached the gospel, he preached the good news about how that man can be one and unified in Christ. Paul writes in verse 5, Ephesians 3 verse 5, speaking of this revelation, this gospel, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it hath now been revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Remember, we mentioned earlier that passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, that the Holy Spirit guided the apostles and the gospel was preached by the apostles through the Holy Spirit. So Paul says the same thing here. The apostles and prophets in the Spirit, what are they preaching? Well, that is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. The gospel brings the Jews and the Gentiles together. And so the good news about how that we can be saved from sin and be unified together in Christ. It's also described in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. It's also described as the gospel of peace. When sin is in our life, we're not at peace with God, but when sin is removed, then we have peace with God. We have peace with fellow brethren. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, "And He," that is Jesus, "He came and preached peace to you that were afar off, and peace to them that were nigh, for through Him we have both our access in one Spirit unto the Father. So then, you are no more strangers and sojourners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each individual building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." The gospel of peace. Sin has been removed, and we can be at peace with God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God And he says to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so it's good news because it brings us the message of salvation from sin. It's also good news because it tells us how to have the right kind of spiritual life and immortality, how that we can live forever with God in heaven. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel and what it accomplishes. Paul writes that he had been preaching the gospel. He's not ashamed of his preaching. In verse 8, we'll begin there, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, "Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel, according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but hath now been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Jesus, in preaching the gospel, told mankind how to have life. Not just physical life, but real life with God and Jesus Christ, as spiritual life, more than just the physical world, more than just money, more than just things, but true life. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that I came to give them life, that they may have life and have it abundantly. So a spiritual life in Christ. And then he says also immortality, that is incorruption, where we can be raised incorruptible and live eternally with Christ, with God in heaven around his throne, and that is brought to light through the gospel. The gospel tells us how to have those things. And so it is good news because it is about salvation. And it's also good news because it puts us in good standing with God. When we sin, we are estranged from God. We're separated from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, our sins separate us from God. And we need to be brought back into God's family. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul tells us how that we can be born again into God's family, how that we can be begotten and become a part of God's family. It happens when we hear the gospel. Paul writes, "For though you have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I begat you through the gospel." We are begotten again through the gospel by hearing it and obeying it. And we become a member of God's family. You know, there are facts that need to be believed. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read that earlier, the first few verses, we need to believe the facts about the death, burial, resurrection, and eyewitnessing of Jesus Christ. There are facts in the gospel that must be believed. There are also commands that must be obeyed. If we want to be born again or begotten again through the gospel, if we want to be a part of God's family, there are some facts that we need to believe and accept. There's some information we need to read and understand and learn and believe that and accept that. Namely, that Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and he was witnessed by his apostles and others. But there's also some commands that must be obeyed. We must obey the gospel, and when we do not obey the gospel, we will receive God's judgment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, those who do not obey the gospel will receive the vengeance of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, those who do not obey the gospel will receive the judgment of God. And so there are commandments that must be obeyed. We must repent and be baptized. That's a command. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and confess that with our mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Those are commands that must be obeyed. And then in the third place, if we want to be born again through the gospel, there are some promises to be accepted. Paul talks about the hope of the gospel, Colossians 1, 23. We have the hope of forgiveness of sins. We have the hope of answered prayer. We have the hope of a home in heaven. And we must be willing to base our life on that hope. Those are promises that we must accept. Facts to be believed, commands to be obeyed, promises to be accepted. And when we do those things, we will be begotten again through the gospel. And it puts us in good standing with God. We can be a part of God's family. And then last of all, what's so good about the good news? It makes us a good person around others. We, after obeying the gospel, we are to walk according to the gospel. All of the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation, is the gospel of Christ. And there are instructions there on marriage and family and how to talk and how to dress and how to work and how to act with others in different areas of our life. And we need to walk uprightly according to the gospel. In Galatians chapter 2, when Paul found his fellow apostle Peter not walking uprightly according to the gospel, he rebuked him and talked with him about that. He writes in Galatians 2:14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." And so we are to walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. And when we do that, we will be a good Christian. Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, how that we are to live a life worthy of the gospel. He writes, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel." And so walking uprightly or walking worthily of the gospel, it provides a way of life where we live in such a way that we're pleasing to God, we are proper in the sight of others, and it offers a manner of life that is worthy. And so that's the good life, the life of a Christian. Friends, what is so good about the good news? Number one, it is good news because it is a good gift that comes from heaven. Number two, it is good news because it is good news about salvation from sin. Number three, it is good news because it puts us in good standing with God. We can be in His family with sin removed. And number four, it makes us a good person around others. It is a life of a Christian that is a worthy, upright life. And so we have a manner of life worthy of the good gospel. Friend, will you repent and believe and obey the gospel today? If you want to study with me, we can open up the Bible. I can come to your home and we can open up the Bible and we can learn more about that good news so that you can accept those facts and believe those facts and obey the commands and believe the promises. Will you live a daily life of a sacrifice and service for God? Will you walk according to the gospel? And will you live in such a way that you will not be ashamed of the gospel? Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," Romans 1 and verse 16. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. We appreciate you tuning in. If you'd like to get together for a Bible study, listen to the closing announcements on how that you can contact us. Come visit us at one of the services. We would love to have you. And please tune in next week for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program.